good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Romans tonight. We're going to be looking in Romans in chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15, you find the place, you're able to stand. We'll look there in that chapter, in the book of Romans in chapter number 15. All right, notice about verse number 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime or written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse number 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank you for it. How we do thank you now for the good songs of Zion that we've heard. We thank you for your watch care over us. We pray for this country, Lord. We realize that we have become a godless mess, and we're asking you to help us to see the way, the right path, and to have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now bless, I pray, these that have gathered tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach on the sermon that we'll entitle tonight, Hope in a Hopeless World. Now, I'm going to tell you, we live in a hopeless world, no doubt about that. I got to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, there's some things that need to be guarded while you're in this world and in this life and in this evil time that we're in. You know, we're always telling people about, good luck and this and that. And there's nothing particularly wrong with that. You ain't got to be pharisaical about it. I'm not operating on luck and all that. Well, excuse me then. I'll take it back. Bad luck for you. I just said all that to be able to say this, but every now and again, especially when you get married. Well, good luck. Do you know and realize that, that once that you have made it down the road a ways, you can throw that out. You can get rid of that all the way. No need to hope that it's going to turn out good for you. If you've been married as long as my wife and I, 56 years coming up in August, no need in telling us, hey, listen, we wish you all the luck in the world and a happy marriage. We've already either got it or you hadn't. See what I'm telling you? Why? Now, if you are hoping for it and you've already got it, why are you yet hoping for what you've already gotten? That's what God teaches over in the book of Romans in chapter number 8. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, there's some things we ought to guard. It's a depressing world, is it not? And I was in a store the other day, and there was some kids screaming to the top of their lungs. And, you know, and I realize, they're young, they don't understand, but by the time you're 12, 13 years old, you ought not to be jumping up and down and screaming, trying to get your way. And anyhow, it was really a smaller kid than that, but it's not as funny if you tell it right. Anyhow, it was a smaller kid than that, you know, and it wanted a toy, and they just wasn't enough in the budget to be able to buy the toy, obviously. And Mama kept saying, no, not this time. And Buddy, no, not this time was not the answer that little fellow was looking for. I don't know. I don't try to guess if they're male or female. But it was just a little kid, you know, and as a result, I come by, it is hurling, screaming. I said, what'd y'all do, show him a light bill? Well, I got to tell you something, fellas, there's a light bill coming one of these days. There's a grocery bill coming one of these days. They're going to make some rent coming one of these days. I got a Mexican calling me every few minutes wanting to buy a tractor that I don't really want to sell or need to sell, but anyhow, he wants to buy it, and he lives in Willis. Maybe I'll just go ahead and sell it to him. And but I'm thinking now about just backing out and keeping the thing. It's time to mow the deer leases. Amen. I mean, that's something to think about, isn't it? But he's already called me. I told him I have church. I told him I pastor the church and I have church on Wednesday night. And I guess he just not believing it or something like that right there. But anyhow, if you hear me talking to him here in a little bit, well, then you'll know. I never bring my phone in, and that's the reason. I want people dunning me and trying to get money out of me, trying to sell me something, this and that, now trying to buy something. I don't want them trying to mess with me. I want to say there's some things in life that we ought to be guarding. First of all is, you ought to guard whatever action that you're taking in life. You ever see somebody and you liked them and all of a sudden they just acted a fool and ruined their whole life testimony? And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can build a good long testimony and mess it up in a heartbeat. And I don't care how many thousands I'm sorries and trying to take it back and redo it and this and that. I don't want you to answer this, just in your heart maybe. But you need to weigh your action before you say something or do something. You ever said something to your spouse and popped off and it was so hurtful? Now you feel bad about it. I just wanted to back up and say how sorry that I am and all that. And then you make it worse. Yeah, you're sorry. You just proved that. You need to stop every now and again, just weigh your actions. Not only that, you need to stop every now and again, weigh your reaction. You ever notice that sometimes people are all right until they get ready to react? And boy, let me tell you something. The action would have been all right and bad enough, but now the reaction to whatever you said, I got to tell you what it's going to do is it's going to be involved in your testimony. And let me say to you, I know that we're not going down through life and dead as a hammer and that we have no feelings whatsoever, that we're not going to ever mess up. That's just going to be a thing. But I want to say to you, there's some things that in the book of Romans that we ought to be guarding. In verse number 6, what we ought to be guarding is you ought to be guarding your head. That means your mind. That means your mouth. What you're thinking, what you're saying. I got to say to you, there ought to be a thinking that's influenced by the Holy Ghost of God, by the Word of the Lord. And I got to tell you, and I realize and know that it's agitating. Just life itself is an agitating thing. And then when you add kids on top of that, you know, and then when you add grandkids on top of that, and then when you, let me just tell you, it's a never-ending battle. That's why we need to guard our mind, guard our mouth, and guard what we are. Because let me tell you right now is there are some things you and I have learned some of these little ones hadn't yet learned. And let me tell you, they will learn them down the road somewhere. And I hope then that they can let their mind and their mouth be that which will glorify and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2 is you need to be able to look at and be able to pay attention to your hearing. Now, I know you talk to me much. I'm going to say several times. Everybody wants to tell me that I need to get one of them Joe Namath hearing aids. Brother Rocky's got them. He's still saying huh. I'm not knocking that. I'm just trying to say to you that, if you will, is that it's not just if you can hear good or hear bad, but what you're hearing you ought to be paying attention to. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 19, at about verse number 27, cease to hear instruction that causeth you to err. Now, you older ones are probably not going to have a problem with it, but I'll tell you what you're going to do. You younger ones better pay a close attention. You know, the farther you get away from God, the uglier the crowd you're going to hang with. And the uglier that they're talking with their mouth and with their godless mind is that familiarity finally breeds contempt. I got to tell you right now, Ibs, that's the reason why that even in a Baptist church, you know, a woman mean as the devil, married, but she don't appreciate her husband. I guarantee you right now, if you hang around like that, ladies, it won't be long you don't appreciate your husband either. Hey, listen, do you know some men that mentally abuse their wives and are unappreciative of them? And I'll tell you, if you fellas hang around that kind of crowd long enough, evil communications will corrupt good manners, and that'll get off on you. In this lesson that we know, one of the things that we better guard is that we'd better guard what we're saying and what we're hearing. And let me tell you, and make no mistake about it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in fact, I want you to turn to that passage tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, because there's two passages. I only jotted a piece of one of them down, but here's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you a passage there in verse number 33. He said, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know somebody you're communicating with that's evil and wicked and godless, it's going to corrupt your good manners. Awake to righteousness, it says, and sin not. For there's some that have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. In other words, we ought to let others see Jesus in us. And if you're going to let others see Jesus in you, you can't run with those that are blasphemous, those that are wicked, and those that are godless. It won't be long. You say no today, but tomorrow, the next day, and next month, it's finally going to get to you. And it won't be long until you'll be thinking just like the rest of that crowd goes to think. Why? Whenever we were growing up, as a young couple and with kids and little kids, you know, every now and again, because we always made our girls and made our children and our son say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. And I see most everybody here that cultivates that same kind of good trait. But the long and short of it was we had some people that were in church and their kids were just an unholy terror. I didn't like keeping them. But they wanted to, and they finally and literally, some of them said, hey, is there any way that we can send one of our kids home to play with your kids and maybe some of the good your kids have got can rub off? That ain't the way it works. It's not a matter of good rubbing off on bad. It's a matter of bad will contaminate and ruin good. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out that as a result that you're hearing. Then there's something else that in this lesson, if you read this whole chapter carefully and you looked at it, is that you'll find out that you ought to guard your heart. And boy, whenever it goes to getting deep down on the inside, and I'm not talking about this vessel here that's pumping blood. I'm talking about your innermost being. I'm talking about the part of you that can converse with God. I'm talking about with the heart. Man believeth unto righteousness. That's what we're talking about. You ought to guard your heart. There's a passage over there. Don't turn there. But the Bible said that if you'll, in Philippians chapter 4, about verse number 7, is that if you'll trust the Lord and so forth and all and commit your way unto him, he'll keep your heart and he'll keep your mind in Christ Jesus. I want to say to you is that every breath that you and I take, we ought to be praising God and thanking God for how good God's been. And by the way, you're not going to find very many people up and down the road of life that you're going to see a very notable change in. I've had people before, you know, that listened to preaching for years and years and years and then just went ahead and rebelled, went their own direction, done their own thing, throwed everything down like that they never had heard nothing. And then when it turned out rotten as the devil itself, then they come and they're weeping, it's too late, and the kids are grown, they're gone, and all this business there. What'd you think was going to happen? See? You're not ever going to sell God's short and it come out and be all right. You know what people will do? I've had a few people in days gone by, and they'd say, well, preacher, I wish you'd pray for my kids. I know they're not right, and I know I'm not right. And somehow or another, but I want you to pray. Now, pray for what? Pray for God to go ahead and bless them in the wrong so it'll encourage others to do the same? This is as quiet a church as the Methodist Church was being when they were taking unholy communion. I got to say to you that whenever you look into it, you've got to guard your heart. If so be you want to be able to praise God, you better let the peace of God rule in your heart, according to Colossians chapter number 3 and about verse 15. All right, number 5 is, what about your home? Now, here we go. I realize, though, that the average Baptist home, I'm not talking about any of you. I know all of you good people have got it all nailed down. But the average Baptist home, buddy, is a place to just go and fill up and change clothes and take off again. I mean, it's not a place of happiness. It's not no longer a place of holiness. There's no comfort in it. Either mama's gone or daddy's gone or both of them's gone. I got to tell you something right now. Somebody better be guarding the house and the homestead. Why do you think God told over there those young widows that I would they'd marry and so forth and guide the house? I'm going to tell you, the house is without a guide in the day we live in. In this lesson that we're looking at, is that probably if I'd have had a mama that was not at home all the time, I could have gotten by with a whole lot more than I did. But I didn't, and I couldn't, and so forth and on. I want to say to you that if you will, please, you better guard your home. Do you realize and know that it's a place where love ought to abound? I've always said this. I've said it before, but I want to hear it again, so I'm going to say it one more time, is that your children ought to be able to look at your life, whether you be a husband, a daddy, a mama, they ought to be able to look at your life and say, I hope as a man I can find me a woman that loves me like my mama does her, my daddy. That ought to be a good example. We ought to be able to look and say, I hope I can find somebody, girls, that will love me like my daddy loves my mama. We've lost that in America. We've lost it. Now, it's not impossible to get it back, but I guarantee you right now is the further down the road you go, the harder it's going to be to finally make the right turn. The home ought to be a place of learning, good morals that ought to be there. Let me say to you that if you will, that if you've got a good home, it builds good morals, it builds good trust, it builds stability in your heart and your life and your mind. And I want to tell you something is that you'll find that it ought to be a place of peace and place of leisure and a place of security and a place of comfort. I sold a chair today because it had two broke springs in it. And I thought, well, you know, and of course Miss Lori put it on some kind of something or another, and I'm getting people from all over the world. Well, I'm thinking about selling this watch here. Anybody? No, I'm not. I want to say to you that if you will, your house and your home ought to be a place of not only rest and relaxation, but a place of peace and comfort and so forth and so on. It just ought to be a place of good living, a place for life. And then not only that, you ought to guard your home. And that's what we're preaching about here tonight for a few minutes. Do you realize and know that the old songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Now, I want to tell you something is right now, the devil can destroy your hope. He'll finally mess up your head. He'll finally mess up your hearing. He'll finally make your heart just not care any longer. And let me tell you something, whenever he got to there, he'll get you home. And no doubt about it, buddy, he'll finally destroy what hope you had whatsoever. I've seen some people every now and again, you know, just absolutely were beside themselves. Ask them what's wrong. They don't know what's wrong. They couldn't put their finger on it at all. I want to tell you, the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, about verse number 12, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. I got to say to you is that hope's not limited to a physical restriction as we have. This Bible said over in the book of Romans chapter 4 and about verse number 18, who against hope believed in hope. He's talking about Abraham. You know, he's too old to reproduce. His wife's too old to have a baby. But he believed against hope and believed what God had to say. And I want to tell you something right now is hope is a thing that's done by faith. If you read all of Romans in chapter number 8, especially verse 20, 24, 25, hope is something by faith. And you may not can see it, but I guarantee you right now, it'll be from the hand of God and the peace of God that'll pass all understanding. Do you know the Bible said over in Romans 12 and about verse number 12, that hope makes us happy and instant in prayer? You show me somebody that's got good hope, I'll show you a praying person. You show me somebody that just believes God in the face of adversity, and I'll show you somebody that spends some time in quality prayer talking to the Lord about whatever's going on in their life. Back in our text in chapter number 15, and about verse number 4, I want to tell you something. Hope is made possible to a believer by the scriptures. Look at verse 4 again. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And I got to tell you, is that when you read that and you look at that, our learning from history past ought to give us faith and hope and charity and to believe in what God had to say. I got to say to you, hope is made possible by believing the scriptures. If you find somebody that just, well, preacher, I just can't believe the scriptures. I'm showing you a person that has no hope. I've had people before, whenever I sit down, let me see what it is maybe you don't understand. And they'd ask or try to ask a question, and well, here's what the scripture says concerning that. And they'd have a reason why they didn't want to believe it. I want to tell you, God will afford you the luxury now to not believe it. He just will. But make no mistake about it. If you turn your back on the word of the Lord, there's no hope for you. It's that simple. And I can promise you, I've had people before that argued just for the sake of argument. And they didn't really care one way or the other. They didn't really care what was right and what was wrong, so forth and so on. They just loved to argue. Well, you're wasting your time with people like that. And what you'd better do is just thank God that He has allowed you to believe it and see it and feel sorry for those that don't. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. And I pray you'd help us to look unto Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you now for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with us now to our homes. In Jesus' name we pray.